start there in just a minute. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for sparing our lives today and being able to get out, even if it's cold. Thank you for being with us, be if the less fortunate, be if all the sick, so many. We pray you'll help us in this study of Galatians to teach the truth and help me always try to teach the truth and study, and all the teachers here at New Lex, be prepared to teach and help us reach out to other people who need the truth and try to save souls. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 1, a little bit of introduction here. Went to different commentaries and they all have close to the same, but all the commentaries have a little different meanings and things. We have to go by the word of truth, and we rely on it most of all. I just want to read a little bit from Galatians 1 here. What Zare says the preceding three epistles of Paul were written to single congregations, and they were located in Europe. The present one was sent to a group of churches in a certain district called Galatia. And it was a part of Asia Minor, which in turn was part of the continent of Asia. Paul had labored among these churches, and at one time a warm personal attachment had been formed between them. There were some Jews in these churches, but for the most part they were Gentiles. The principal reason for the epistle was to counteract the evil teaching of some Judaizers, or Jews, who were troubling the churches. These were Jews who tried to induce Gentile Christians to take up the ordinance of the law of Moses, particularly the rite of circumcision. This disturbance was in evidence in many parts of the Roman Empire, where Christianity had been planted in Acts 15, 1 and 2, and Colossians 2, 16 through 23, and others. But the present epistle, or this letter, Galatians, is directed to the territory in Galatia. Doubtless because Paul was so disappointed over the reversal of conditions there. It just gives a little idea what Paul's talking about. Okay, we'll start there in Galatians chapter 1. I'll read several verses and we'll kind of discuss them a little bit. Good to see Daryl and Karen come. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, of course, wrote this book and he wrote most of the New Testament. Paul, an apostle. These are very important verses, these words. He's an apostle. That's one sent, a messenger of God. Not of men, he says. Neither by human, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Let's just go over a little bit. Paul was not an apostle sent by any man. He was not taught of men. We'll see that in a little bit later. But only by Jesus Christ. So the truth Paul taught had to be the truth, didn't it? It couldn't be false teaching because he was sent by Jesus Christ. We know the Word is God. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So how could it be any false teachings in the Word of God? A lot of it going on in the world, isn't there? And even in the church. Apostle, he's an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. There's important. By Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. God raised Christ from the dead. You can see that in Acts 2:24. Let's look at verse 2. If you have any comments, please speak up. And all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. All the brethren, he took brethren with him. He had some brethren with him. These brethren had no authority in connection with this letter. Paul wrote this letter. He wrote the letter and signed it and everything. This did not even take part in the writings of the chapter in 6:11. That's Galatians. The phrase means they joined the apostle in friendly salutation to the churches. They went with Paul and were all the brethren which are with me. There's more than one there. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word grace, what's grace mean? And we sure don't deserve to go to heaven. None of us deserve that, only by our Lord's grace and being obedient, unmerited favor. That's a good favor, isn't it? You know, we can do favors for people and they can do favors for us. And that's great. And we love a favor done. But look at this favor. He favored everyone from the beginning of time clear up to the last day if people obey him. That's the key. To get that grace, we have to be obedient, don't we? That's just one part, grace. There's many more things. Faith and our works and our baptism and all is what gets us to heaven and being faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Let's look at the word peace a little bit. There's not much peace in the world, is there, today? If you look around, so much distraction and fightings and everything. And we're going to see all that in the world which we live in. But we can have a peace, I believe, passes all understanding. Morning, Lisa. We can have a peace. Not that everything's going to be perfect, but I feel like even though we go through trials and everything and we're distracted about the world, and you think on God and His Word and pray a lot and worship Him and serve Him and obey Him, you still have a peace. It's just you can't describe it. There's a peace if you know you're going to heaven. Any comments? Verse 4 then. Who gave Himself for our sins, talking about Christ, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's going on with what we're talking about. This world's full of evil and everything. But what did He do? He gave Himself for our sins that we could be delivered from this present evil world according to the will of God. That's very important. It's all God's will that all this comes about. The will of God, to whom be glory forever and ever, verse 5. We need to give God glory, don't we? We need to give Him praise and honor. And He says amen to that, verse 5. How much glory do we give God in our lives? How much do we really appreciate Him? And it's without end, He says. The Bible says in Psalms 113:3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun, the Lord's name is to be praised. We should praise our God much through the day and evening, night. Not just one prayer, not just one time. His name's to be praised. Now He's going to wander here a little bit. Someone want to read 6, 7, and 8, please. I won't be talking all the time here. 6, 7, and 8. Tyler read there. He says, I marvel or wonder that you are so removed. These are Christians now he's talking to that they're trying to go back to the old law, Moses and things. We'll see that here later on in the chapter. He says, I marvel or wonder why you're removed from the gospel that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. We know there's no other gospel. He says that in verse 7. It's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. You ever wonder why some people, it's been in the church for years and years, and they quit going, or they go to another denomination, or quit going, quit doing the truth. You wonder how they can do that if they know the truth and are strong in it, and they leave it. And there's preachers that preach the gospel for years, and they leave it. How can that be? What do you think, Daryl? How can they do that? Pardon?
I couldn't say it any better.
Okay. Yeah, they must not be grounded in firm foundation, as Christ taught in Matthew about the man planted seed, and after a while birds come along and devoured it and took it away. Wasn't firm, was he? Wasn't grounded and rooted.
And men are removed from
sin.
Yeah.
One word does it all.
Yep.
Sin.
Something.
It will remove us from Christ.
Yep.
It doesn't even take a minister to be a Christian.
Right.
It's easy to sit back and look at what should be said and say then what others want said. I can't understand, as you mentioned, Tom, about somebody who's preached for a while will all of a sudden say, well, I'm just, you know, that's not what I'm going to teach anymore. I'm not going to preach that and go and preach something else. Just it's lack of, Karen said, their own solid foundation. They built their foundation upon sand and not on the solid rock.
Yeah. And a lot of them like people to praise them. They don't. If you're following the truth and teaching the truth, a lot of times you won't get a lot of publicity, or they want followings too. Like preachers on TV, they got big followings, but what do they teach? Part of the truth. Not all the truth, do they? That's not the gospel, is what Paul's talking about.
Years ago, my dad talked with a person about their preaching and what they were preaching. And one week they were going to be at I don't remember what denomination it was. I'll say it was Pentecostal, perhaps. And then the next week they were going to go preach at a Methodist. And Dad said, how can you do that? He said, well, I just preach what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the problem. Yeah. So many fellows just get to the point where they preach what the people want to hear.
Yeah. I think Paul said that. They have itching ears. But that won't get us to heaven, will it? What's Paul say in verse 8, or verse 7 there again? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, try to trouble you and want you to preach something, false doctrine. They would pervert or change the gospel of Christ, which we can't change it, can we? People try to. But though we, he said we, that's Paul and the apostles, or an angel from heaven. And we know angels didn't preach the gospel. But he said even if an angel from heaven came down here, preached some other gospel than what the word says that we preach unto you, let him be what?
Accursed.
Yeah. What is that? What's a curse mean? Right. Going to be lost. Paul said in, I think, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul knew how important it was. Of course, he wanted to preach the gospel. Paul didn't have to do this, but he'd been lost. But he wanted to go to heaven.
Stop and think back when we were all children. Our father, or perhaps our mother, gives us something to do, or they tell us, you tell your brother or you tell your sister to do this, and if we go and we tell them something else, you know, mom and dad wouldn't be very happy with us. We would be that same thing. We'd be accursed. We would be punished, and that's what Paul's saying. You know, it's the same. Same rule of thumb, if we aren't willing to tell what the Lord God wants, you know, then what else is there? We need to see that that's what we do.
Yeah.
The same as we would have done when we were children, because we know we would have got punished, we need to make sure that what we're telling is right, because in the end, if we don't do what's right, we're going to get punished.
Right. And our Father in heaven says that. How important is it to preach the truth? Well, Paul just said there, we are an angel, preach anything else. And that's They're talking about here, we get into this circumcision and trying to go by the old law later on here. We'll see that. But that could be anything, any teaching in the church. Adding things for worship that's not supposed to be there. Or taking things out, which that's going on in the world today. Everything has to be truth. And Paul even says this again, he says. He's going to tell them again. You don't see this very much, do you? He says, I'm going to say it again, as we said before in verse 9. Daryl, would you read that?
Okay, verse 9. As we have said before, which is the repeating of verse 8, he said, so now I say to you, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what has been received, let him be accursed.
Okay. Going to suffer in the end, isn't he? I'm going to tell you again, if any man, anybody preaches any other than this word of truth, this is God's word. Paul kind of changes here in verse 10. He says, what's he saying here? Why would I want to not preach the truth here? He says, do I now persuade men? Them won't agree with me and tell them false things, or God? Is Paul going to please men or God? It's what he's saying here. Paul was convicted, wasn't he? He was going to preach the truth. And I don't think we ever see anything in the Bible about God wavering like Peter. Peter kind of wavered, didn't he? He went back. In the Gospels there, he denied God or Christ. And here he's kind of getting away from the truth too. We're going to see that Paul goes face to face with him and gets on him here in the next little bit. Chapter 2, verse 11. I'm just going over this a minute. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face. Because he was to be blamed. He was letting some false teaching go on here. We'll get into that next week probably, maybe. But he says in verse 10 there, do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? We can't please men and preach the truth if it's not going to work. For if I yet please men, he says, I should not be what?
Not be a bondservant.
Okay.
Well, that means a follower. If he was worried about pleasing men, he would still be persecuting Christians.
Right. We're going to get in that too. He persecuted Christians, didn't he? Beyond measure. Okay. He says, I should not be the servant of Christ. But he said in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, or make known to you, that the gospel which was preached of me is what? Not after man. He's saying a very important thing here. It's all God's word. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Paul was a smart man in the old law. He was taught about the old law before he became a Christian. But now he says, I wasn't taught. What's he saying? If it wasn't taught, how does he know? Right there it is, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, the truth. That's very important. Paul didn't go to school to learn, because he wrote this. He wrote the Word of God by God directing him. Holy men of God wrote the Bible in 2 Peter, I believe it is, or 1 Peter. Let's look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation, speaking or whatever, in time past in the Jews' religion, how what? That beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's before he became a Christian, wasn't it, on the road to Damascus. He was having Christians killed, wasn't he? He didn't like the church at all, but he was strong in the Old Testament and his traditions of his fathers, and profited, verse 14, in the Jews' religion, above many my equals in my own nation. What does he say? And being more exceedingly zealous. Paul was zealous. He before he became a Christian, he thought he was doing right killing Christians. Nothing got in his road. But look here. He said he was more zealous of traditions of my fathers. Traditions, if we hold on to traditions of our even parents, if it's not in the truth, that's dangerous, isn't it? If we won't give up traditions, that false religions and things, and going by what God's Word says, we can be lost. He was zealous of the traditions of his fathers. Now, verse 15. Someone want to read 15, please, and 16.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Okay. Dave said, but when it what? Please God. That's very important. Please God. Paul was going to please God no matter what was going on. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. When Paul was separated from his mother's womb when he was born, God knew he was going to use Paul. And he called him by his grace. To, as Dave read, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, he says, I confirm not with flesh and blood. And Paul knew what was right, and he obeyed the gospel. He said immediately. He did not go for help with other apostles or anything, because he didn't see any of them for later on. We're going to see that. But immediately, he started preaching the gospel.
And Tom, you know, all that line, he immediately started doing it. It was his choice. He was not forced. God did put him in a half Nelson and tell him he was going to have to do that. He did do something a little extraordinary when he caused him to become blind for those 3 days and then allowed his sight to be restored. But in the process, it says in the 9th chapter, Paul told Ananias, he says, I'm going to show him what he's going to suffer. Now, the question then for us would be, if we were going to suffer like Paul, so God showed him the fact that, Paul, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be shipwrecked, people are going to turn their back on you, people who were your friends now are going to become your enemies, so on and so forth. Would we have enough courage and enough love for God to do that? Or would we, as you talked about earlier, water stuff down to where, well, people like this. I can preach this and not make anybody mad.
Right.
But he never worried about that. If it upset somebody, and we should never either. If we're saying something that is truth and right, and we say it in a God-fearing manner, we should never be concerned about what it is or if it offends somebody.
Right. I think he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he went through more than all the apostles. He suffered more than all of them. If you go back there in 2 Corinthians 11, it tells you everything that he went through. And we all know a lot of those. 5 times he was beaten. Suffered shipwreck, went hungry. And here's one verse that says, in perils, that's danger of the sea, in perils among what? False brethren. There's even false brethren to try to give him a rough time, and we're seeing that today.
Could you imagine walking through Paul's mind when he was in the Roman prison and they were burning Christians on the street, and he was sitting there, and I'm sure he went through his mind probably. I helped do this at one time. I helped persecute the Christian people.
Yeah.
How bad he would have failed over that.
Right. Yeah, Paul had a lot behind him, didn't he? Bad things, but he said the main things, forget those things behind, Philippians chapter 3. He says, he count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. You know, Paul had memories, but yet he tried to not think on them, and he's moving forward to that mark of the goal, the prize. And he was going to preach the truth no matter. And he lost his life in the end, didn't he? Paul lost his life. How was Paul put to death? Does anyone remember? Yeah, beheaded in Rome, I think. Or beheaded. Terrible death. And the only apostle that wasn't was James, wasn't it? Pardon? John, I'm sorry, John. I met John. Anyway, and James lived a normal life, or not James, John, when he was on the Patmos Island, he wrote Revelations. I think our time's about up this morning. If you will, study over Galatians for next week, and we'll start there and maybe 16, and have a little review and probably finish that chapter and get in chapter 2 of Galatians. Thank you for your help.